know, Jesus said in Luke 9, 23 to 25, that, and I'm going to read it here, and it says that...
that was Luke what?
Yeah, now this is not going to be our lesson text, but I'm just going to read this verse, because I think that this is important, because this is where it starts. Jesus said here in Luke 9, 23 through 25, and he said, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, let's see, I said I was going to go to 25, but I want us to think about what Jesus is saying here. So Jesus here, it starts right here. It says that if anyone, and he's speaking to us today, he says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. Now, when I read that, the first thing that came to my mind was that, as I said, that he was speaking to me and you as well. And so he's saying that, also he goes on to say that he must deny himself. So that tells me that the old self have to have been died out upon baptism. And he says that he must pick up his cross daily and follow me. Now, if we didn't die with Jesus, we wouldn't have a cross to pick up.
We'd still be sinners.
We'd still be sinners. In other words, we have to take on the new self. In other words, is what Jesus is saying here. Now, think about what that means, about taking on the new self. That means that the old person that you and I were have to have died out. And sometimes we're a different person. And sometimes we don't want to let go of that old self. Think about it. Now, actually, when I do the lessons here, I always pray that I can deliver this message in a way that it will bring about spiritual growth. Because one of the things that I did mention this morning, and the lesson we did this morning, is that Jesus told the children of Israel that their worship would be in vain. And I pray that our worship will not be in vain. So as I present this message to you, I hope that you and I will be strengthened by this message, by God's word, and live our lives according to his will and not ours. Also, Jesus said that that we must pick up our cross daily. So that means it's a daily struggle every day that I can't take tomorrow off, or I can't take Friday off, or Tuesday. That means that I have to pick up my cross and follow Christ every day. Okay, now our lesson text is going to be about becoming complete in Christ. And it's going to be taken from Colossians, the first chapter. So if you turn with me to Colossians 1, and you know, I have done a lesson before about becoming complete in Christ. I was at a point where I didn't understand what that meant. But I do today, because the scripture here makes it quite clear. Quite clear. And it does. And so I think our goal as Christians is to become complete in Christ. Now, all believers are saints. Not because they are perfect, but because they belong to God in Christ. This expression is mentioned 80 times in this letter that Paul wrote to the Colossians. Paul is speaking to saints in this letter, persons who belong to God, who have a special relationship with Christ. You see, so Paul also identifies his audience as trusted saints. Now, there were also false teachers in Colossae who were teaching things that had no value or that was watered down. You see, so I think that, you know, and we can read about that. And look, turn with me to, now, where are, turn with me to 2 and 22. Let's look at chapter 2, 22 for a minute. 2, 22. Okay, and so 2:22 here, it says that which all refer to things destined to perish with us. Let's see, am I 2:22? And so it says here. Which all refer to things destined to perish with us. In accordance with the commandments and teachings of men. You see, now, what this verse is saying here is that, you know, is that sometimes we could be presented with lessons that will, that's based on things that, that man believe rather than coming from the scriptures itself. Also, there were those who gave the appearance of being complete. And 2:18 talks about that. Paul mentioned Christ 25 times in this letter. And this letter is centered on Christ. It first starts with our faith in him. And so that's Colossians 1:4. Now, our faith is seen in our knowledge. Let's look at Colossians 1:9 through 11. I'm going to read 1:9 through 11. You see, because our knowledge in Christ is really important. So I'm going to read this 1:9 through 11. And so 1:9 says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." These are very important words. You see? Now, we're talking about, as we read this, we're going to learn and how we need to become complete in Christ. So we see that we have to bear fruit in every good work, and it's important for us to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Okay, and so now our knowledge reveals itself in a spirit of gratitude, which the writer talks about in 11 and 12, in Colossians 11 and 12, which where we are. The way we live our lives each day, our conduct with our children, our neighbors, at work, or in public. You know, faith is in our heart and in our mind is not enough. Because James says in 2:17 that faith without works is dead. And Paul in verse 6 and 10, he speaks of bearing fruit. You see, and so, Jesus talked about bearing fruit in John 15, 2 through 6. And I'm going to read that. And Jesus said here in John 15 through 6, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me, and I am the vine, and you are the branch. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. But if anyone does abide in me, abide in me, then he is thrown away, and a branch it dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So also, I'm going to read here. I'm going to read Hebrew, and so you don't have to go there. You can write it down or whatever. You can go there if you like. But I'm going to read Hebrew 4:3, and it says here, "For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, and I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my wrath." You see, so in other words, what Christ is saying here is that he that believes in him will enter his rest. Now, we can't enter God's rest if we haven't been workers, if we have not worked, you see, because that's why Jesus is speaking of entering his rest, because we have to be workers and so everybody can do something. Now, let's look at, turn with me to, just turn a page over, or whatever your book may be, to 2:7. I'm going to read 2:7, Colossians 2:7. Colossians 2:7. That's back, lesson text is in Colossians. Colossians 2:7. And 2:7 says that, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him, established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. So, you know, it's important also, it's important to be built up in walking firm in Christ. And our roots must be deep. And that means that that when we have difficult days, storms come in our life, destructions, etc., things happen in our life that cause us to be distracted from God. And this morning we talked about pride, and sometimes pride creeps into our life, and sometimes we don't realize that that we are becoming further and further separated from God because of our pride just kind of takes over. And so, but our roots must be deep, and we must be, but we'll survive if our roots are deep in Christ. And so I'd like to turn over to, let's look at Colossians 2 and 12. And so 2 and 12 says that, having been buried with him in baptism, in which we were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. So it says here that that if we have been buried with Christ, that we'll be raised with him also. And so that tells us that if we were, and I mentioned that from the outset of our lesson here, that tells us that if we were truly buried with Christ through our baptism, and that means again that we, that all things, all the old self died out, and now we're walking in this, we're new creatures. We're walking in this newness of life. you see, and so that we'll be, now, the Bible also tells us that Jesus is the firstborn of everything that we'll deal with, everything that we'll go through. He's, in other words, he's a pace setter, or he's the one that we should follow in his footsteps. And so, you know, again, the Bible is telling us here that if we were buried with him, that we certainly will be raised with Christ. And so, also, I want to read Romans 6:3-8. Romans 6:3-8, if you turn there with me, if you will. And so, Romans 6:3-8. And the writer writes, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that Christ was risen from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him." This is really, you know, I think that as I read this, you know, I try to understand what the writer is saying here. You see, now, all these things I have to do, this is part of what I have to do in order for me to become complete in Christ. This is really important. All the things that we're talking about here is part of what we have to do, we must do, to become complete in Christ. And so, we were buried with him and raised in newness of life. If we are to become complete in Christ, our faith must bear these characteristics that we talked about and that we're going to talk about. Now, also, let's turn back to our lesson text and let's look at, I want to look at 2:10, and I'm going to read the verse in Colossians 2:10. And it says here, "In him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority." You see, so in him we have been made complete in Christ. Now, what does this mean to be in Christ? Well, so far we talked about having been buried with him into the water of baptism. This is part of it. You see? Then, you know, it talked about gaining the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding of the truth of Christ. Then, so far, we have talked about that it's important for us to, our lives must reflect Christ. Everything that we do, it must reflect Christ in order for us to become complete. You see, so Paul said to the Colossians that he told them that they were complete in Christ. Paul says in Colossians 3:3, and so let's look at this, and so we can see for ourselves that they had died with Christ and their life was hidden with Christ. These statements point to their faith in their life. So 3:3, it says that, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ. You see, your life is hidden with Christ in God. You see, and so, Paul, he let them know that, he's already talked about, we just read that in order to become complete, that we have to be in Christ. And so now he's telling them that you have died. And so now, having been died in the water of baptism, now you're a new creature. All these things have to take place. All these things have to happen. But now their lives was hidden with Christ. It points to their faith in their life. Now here's the question that I have to ask myself, and maybe you should ask yourself. Do our lives reflect Christ in a vibrant and living and productive way? You know, I have to ask myself this question. I have to really be honest and ask myself and look at the things that I do, how I live, and do I live up to the standard of this book? As I live and I go through, as I deal with family and friends, as I deal with the storms of life, as I deal with the distractions of life, as I deal with the difficulties in life, does it reflect this book? Does it reflect Christ? And then I have to answer, do I hide in my faith in a way that my faith cannot be seen? You see, because sometimes, come to church and they profess to be Christians, but their lives reflect that of the world. You know, not everybody come to church, live a Christian life. Sometimes people come to church, and when they come to church and they hear God's word and they learn about what the Bible says, and so they just kind of put that on the wayside, put that by the wayside, and just go about living other lives, you see. And so I want to get through this, and because I see that time is getting by here. So also, to be complete, we must reflect Christ in our daily life, is the point. And the second way we reflect Christ in our, it should be by our love for other saints. Now, that's another thing I have to ask myself. You know, am I showing love for the saints in the church? You know, I mean, you see, and so we know that how important it is for us to to love one another, because God he's commanded us to do this. And so I should have the desire to do it because I want to be pleasing to Him in every aspect of my life. And I do have the desire. I want to become complete in my life. And so, in Colossians 1:4, if you'll turn back and we can read in 1:4, and 1:4 says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and love, and in the love which you have for all the saints. Now, you know, it's important for me to have love for all the saints. You see, and so that's another thing that I know that's important for me to do. And so Paul also, as we talked about, he talked about bearing fruit of the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? And so bearing fruit of God. See, we are made complete in Christ by reflecting Him, and it must show in our faith. It must show in our love. And third, we must reflect Him in our hope of heaven in Colossians 1:5. So hope is mentioned three times, 1:4, 1:23, and 1:27. So these are three things that we learn that it's important for us to do in order for us to become complete. In our love, we must reflect Christ, and we must have faith. Our love, our faith, and our life again must reflect reflect Christ. Now, God has given us a commandment, and He says here is that a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Okay, and so the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, godliness, and faithfulness. And so, as I conclude this lesson here, about being complete in Christ, so I hope that I hope this lesson would have been a benefit to you. And so I hope that you will also have learned to become complete in Christ. It's really important that we as Christians become complete in Christ. And so our faith, our love, it should reflect, people should see Christ in all the things that we do. Okay, so this lesson is yours, and so I want to talk about the plan of salvation here as we conclude this lesson. And so, if there's anyone here that wish to, I think everybody here is, is baptized in Christ, and we know the plan of salvation is to hear the gospel, believe the gospel, repent of our sins, and to confess Christ, and to be baptized. And the number six important thing is to be faithful until death. That means that our life should be all about Christ, not about ourselves, not about one another, our family, but our lives should reflect Christ. And so we should be workers, and so striving to please Him and do His will. And so that concludes my lesson.